Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Optimistic Future Podcast. My name is Brian Raid, and today I am very pleased to be joined by Amy Hill of Snowy River Farms. Amy and her family have been friends with my family for 6 or 7 years now. Oh, we've been out to their farm many times. It's a wonderful small-scale farm operation. They have pigs and chickens and grow veggies, and it's just really awesome setup that they have there. We always like just going out to visit, seeing the animals, all that good stuff. And I'm really pleased that Amy's taking the time to chat with me today because I've been a avid supporter of small farms. My wife and I have had many farm share like veggie baskets and things like that before. We've done meat shares before. We buy half cows, quarter cows, whole pigs, put them in our deep freeze, that kind of thing. And as my understanding over the years has been that it's good to support our local farmers. It's good to support our small farmers. Small farmers are also small business owners, and I think it's important to support small business owners for a number of reasons. Good for our local economy, good for the job market, et cetera. With that being said, one of my goals with this podcast is to learn more about these different choices that we can make to hopefully have a positive impact on our communities. And so I have a lot of assumptions about why I think it's good to support small farms, but I'm excited today to talk to a small farm owning farmer to learn more about it and see if the assumptions that I've had over this course of time have been correct, or there's more to the story. There's usually more to the story. So I'm curious to hear about maybe pros that I haven't heard of. Can't really think of any cons, but I'll ask Amy, are there cons to supporting small farms? Because so of course good to make a fully informed decision about where we want to be, putting our dollars, like which companies we want to be supporting, et cetera. So looking forward to the chat with Amy today. Just a couple of quick housekeeping items here before I bring Amy into the chat. One is that I would ask if you're interested to please check out our Optimistic Future podcast website. I'll put the URL in the show notes below. And we're just compiling early days. This is only the second episode of the Optimistic Future podcast, but be compiling basically a list on there of just things to consider for day-to-day choices that you can make in terms of either personal choices, what you're doing with your day-to-day life, or companies that you want to support, this and that. Please check out the website if you're interested. And then also, I would ask that if you are so inclined, if you would be open to checking out another website. It's a different project that I have. It's something called the Made Local Group Charity. It's a registered charity here in beautiful Canada. And basically, it's a website. It's a madelocalgroup.ca. I'll put the URL in the show notes as well. But it's a database of companies that manufacture goods in Canada. Supporting these businesses, I think, is also important because it helps to support our local economy, supports the local job market, helps to support those hardworking entrepreneurs that we have here in Canada. And by actually making goods here in Canada, it's just that much more of a boon to our country because companies that are, say, Canadian owned, but making goods offshore, it's fine to do that, of course, but there's more of an environmental impact. There are as the jobs that are required to manufacture those goods are going to be in from other countries, not in ours. And so I think supporting our local economy, supporting these local businesses, I think is really important. So again, the URL for that website is madelocalgroup.ca. And if you go to the website, there'll be a little pop-up asking, would you join our mailing list? And I'd ask that you please, please, pretty please join the mailing list because one of our goals with Made Local is to generate a large enough mailing list so that we can start to approach larger companies and say, hey, could you please start carrying or please start selling goods that are made in Canada, because if they see that there's a demand, as evidenced by a sizable enough mailing list, then there'll be more motivation for them to, carry these goods. It'll help to, again, support smaller businesses and help them to grow and just support our manufacturing industries here in Canada. So, little plug for Made Local, and so please consider visiting the website, joining the mailing list. Also, put the URLs for our Instagram and Facebook pages for that initiative as well. With all of that out of the way, I'm just going to pause the recording for a quick second. I'll be back in one moment with Amy. All right, everyone. So I'm back with Amy Hill of Snowy River Farms. Amy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Amy, would you mind telling folks just a bit about yourself and a bit about your farm, please?
Yeah, sure. So I live in Cooksbrook, Nova Scotia. I farm with my husband, but technically he works off farm right now, so it's just me running the business on just under 10 acres, which is considered a pretty small farm compared to a lot of other farms in Nova Scotia and certainly within Canada. But we do a lot of direct-to-consumer sales, so we have lay hens that are rotated out on pasture. We have meat birds or broiler chickens, as some people would call them, which we also rotate on pasture. And we do hogs that are rotated on pasture and through the woods. And then we also have a market garden that includes some greenhouses where we grow like organic type produce. We're not certified organic, but we follow all of the organic regulations and we use organic seed. So yeah, and we do a lot of direct to consumer, so we deliver to consumers. We run a CSA typically, which is community supported agriculture, which is veggie boxes and or meat boxes. And we have a few stores that sell for us as well.
Amazing. And as a long-term patron of your business, I can say it's all very delicious. And I wish you guys were closer because we'd buy like all of our pork and eggs and things from you if you could like keep up with the demand, because we have too many kids and we eat too many eggs. And I know your stuff gets sold out semi-regularly, but that's yeah, awesome stuff. Amy, as I was saying in the intro, I've been, our family's been a long time supporter of, small farms. We much prefer if we can buy, a quarter of a cow or a full pig from, from a small farm, we'd much rather do that than say, buy from the grocery store or whatnot. I feel like there are, and reason behind that, to say nothing of like all the, animal welfare aspects where, you folks treat your animals so well and just, from start to finish, they're just treated and processed in the best way humanly possible, cared for in the best way humanly possible. So that's all super, super important. Just where the focus of this podcast is more around like what are choices that we can all consider as consumers and, folks out in the, out in the world to kind of try to make our global community, local and global community a better place. I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit to in what way, like beyond the animal welfare component, like what are the some of the advantages of supporting a small scale farm like yours around just promoting benefiting the community at large, shall we say?
One thing that I really love about supporting like small scale farmers or even diverse farms like mine, where we do produce, eggs, meat, all of those things, is that you all it's good for our economy. It's supporting, over 50% of the farms in Nova Scotia are actually, I believe, under $200,000 in gross profits every year, which is very tiny, like very, very small. And so you're supporting a lot of different people, but you're also learning a lot more about what is in season, what your area can produce. You're having a smaller footprint on, like in a smaller environmental footprint, where your food isn't traveling from a really far distance. I'm not against people purchasing things like avocados or bananas or things to add to their diet. And if it's the middle of the winter and you really wanted strawberries and you got them from the grocery store, there's that option. But it doesn't make sense to be purchasing California strawberries or Florida strawberries in the middle of July when we've got beautiful strawberries being produced locally on both large and small scale. So it helps you to understand where your fresh food is coming from. If you understand that tomatoes are in season in August and in September. If you're lucky to connect with somebody who has a heated greenhouse, or sometimes if I can get my tomatoes in early enough, you might be able to get them in July. But I find it gives you more respect for your food when you're buying small scale and local. Our larger farms, whether they be organic or conventional, they do feed the vast majority of the population, and so I won't discredit them at all in any of that. But the small scale farmers tend to be the ones who get you to connect with your food. Because if you're going to the grocery store and you're just purchasing whatever, whenever, you don't understand the time that's been put into it. You don't understand the maybe the inputs like chemical or, you know, whether they be synthetic or organic, any of that stuff. You don't really understand any of those sides of things. And I find then we have a real disconnect from food. And when we have a disconnect from food, we have a disconnect from the environment, from the animals that were grown for us to eat. I often promote very much putting a face to your food. I know that makes people uncomfortable, but I think the most respect we can give an animal that we're going to eat is to recognize that it was a life. And when you're supporting small scale farmers, you're having a much larger connection to your food. And that tends to trickle outwards to your friends and your family. You have stories when you're connecting with your food. And oftentimes we, if you're on a small scale, don't have the ability to monocrop. And I am someone who's a really huge promoter of diversification within farms. We certainly are quite a diverse farm, and we get to have a lot of full circle things happening here. So I can be growing my produce, and if I have, you know, anything that's damaged or rotten, that immediately goes to feeding my livestock, and then my livestock provide me with meat and eggs. And then, you know, the eggshells, they go back into my compost, which then goes back onto my garden. It's this whole circle of things. And it allows for, I allow for more pollinators on my property, interaction with different wildlife, because I don't have vast fields of just one monocrop, or, you know, just massive fields of just, less so in Nova Scotia, but other places where you might have really big feedlots and things like that. That's all affecting the environment, but also the wildlife in the area, the pollinators, all of those things. So if you're small scale, you tend to be more diverse. And that isn't just diversity and strength for, like, economically speaking. If we had a bad year with chicken, you hope that you could, you know, lean on some on your produce, maybe your pork or something like that, which large scale doesn't have. I know a lot of commercial poultry producers over the last couple of years have been quite scared with avian influenza, and they don't have anything else to lean on. That's what they've got. And that's a really scary thing, to have all your eggs in one basket, essentially, and be at risk of that one thing collapsing, and that's all you have. And when you look to small farms, because just doing one thing doesn't make a lot of economic sense, we branch out and we do so much more. And so it's in like it economically, it's a better decision, or it can be a stronger decision. But then there's all these like environmental things that trickle in, and then also people's connection to their food, respect for food, how it grows, what it even is, and what it means for your body, for everything, really. So I think that commercial farms are important because they may be feeding the vast majority of people, but the small farms are what are connecting us into understanding our whole food system.
That's awesome. And so, you know, sounds like there's several reasons on an environmental impact level that, you know, supporting small farms makes a lot of sense. And then also just for, yeah, on individual levels, probably from health perspectives, but also just from more of a, as you said, like appreciating your food, kind of connecting with your food more, which I think is, yeah, really underemphasized in our society at large these days, at least in our, you know, North American society. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I do want to ask you a question about kind of dovetailing what you just said. Just the one little tiny little anecdote is that one of the many reasons that we love your farm is, I remember back in the day when you had sheep on your farm, like how we brought our Christmas tree after it was past its prime, and like the sheep ate all the pine needles, which, you know, was, yep, like great. Like, we're not just letting our Christmas tree go to the, you know, to the dump to rot, basically. It's like, oh, there's an animal that's going to eat this. The pine needles have the anti-parasitic effect. I know you told me the anecdote of like our sheep never get parasites because they just eat pine needles off our land and all that, which amazing. And then where you don't have sheep now, but we love bringing our pumpkins out to your place after Halloween, because the chickens and the pigs, you know, chow down on those pumpkins, and just, yeah, nothing goes to waste, which is amazing. So it's really awesome, the kind of sort of interconnected and kind of like closed circuit system that you have going there. So just awesome. The one question that I had was kind of around, because you mentioned this or alluded to this a couple of times, where it's like, yeah, so, you know, the we'll say like bigger farms, you know, kind of more like mass farming, monocropping and all that, like that, those organizations kind of feed the masses, like proportionately feed more folks than small farms do. I'm just wondering if you've thought about this, or if you've read or heard anything about like the idea where, well, if more of us, you know, in the public at large were supporting small farms, like if it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, Amy, like you just can't keep up with the demand. Like, you know, everything you grow and produce is getting bought out. You know, all of the other small farms are getting, you know, they can't keep up with the demand. So that would theoretically either drive, you know, existing farms to maybe expand a bit more. Like, even if my understanding is, even if you went to say, if you doubled your space, you'd still be a small farm by definition. So like, you need to expand your operation, or other folks are like, oh man, this small farming thing seems to be a pretty good gig. You know, young people or other folks being like, oh, maybe I'll start my own small farm. Would there be a model where maybe small farms wouldn't, I've heard some folks talk about how like maybe small farms couldn't at this point with our population, global population, and the rate at which it's growing, like maybe couldn't ever fully support the whole population. But could there be a, if more folks were to support small farms, could there be a, could the small farmers play like a ever increasing role in like kind of covering more of a percentage of the global, we'll just maybe stick to North America for now, but say like North American food needs?
Yeah, so I have an interesting way of looking at all of this. I very much like, small farms were what we always had, right? And then as people branched out, we built more things, we learned new things. You had to have other professions come up. You have those things come up, less people are growing food now because they're branching out into other industries. So then you have farms that are growing larger and larger in order to make sure that they're paying or they're growing food for those people who are no longer growing their own food or buying from their neighbor, et cetera. Farms have always responded. So even at our current scale, the way commercial farms are operating, they do that because of demand, because of what they've been asked to do. The entire farming industry, whether large or small, we grow to what people want. And so I know that for me personally, and with the size land we have, what people want and my customer base, they want a connection to their food. They want a story. They do want to put a face to their meat and their eggs. They want things that don't have synthetic sprays on them. They want organic seed. They want non-GMO grains. They want all of those things. So I am responding to that and covering that space. But commercial farms know that on a large scale, people want a lot of choice. They want huge diversity in the grocery store. They want to walk down an aisle that does have 15 or 20 different types of pasta to purchase, which, you know, it's all these different companies, but also it means that you have to mass produce wheat in order to have that much variety. And they want it cheap. And so commercial firms can do that because economy of scale, if they're really, really big, they can start to purchase grain and seed and all of their inputs for cheaper than what I can purchase them for. So currently it's not as economical for small scale farmers to operate as large scale farms. It just makes more sense the way they do it. And I often struggle with that because I can acknowledge that if we're just talking about what's the most economical and how do we get food to everybody the cheapest, commercial farms do that. That's what they do. Do I agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. And I don't agree because I don't believe that anyone should have a monopoly on our food production. And I do very much believe that there is a large amount of people who want free range chicken. They want their pigs outside. They want non-GMO or organic grains. They want organic produce. And I think we're starting to make a shift. I am seeing a shift. Even I've got commercial friends who are large scale produce producers. And they were just telling me that last summer they had planted an entire field of marigold and they were using that as a pest deterrent. And I was like, because he had seen some marigolds on my property and he was like, what do you have those all planted for? And I was like, oh, it's a pest deterrent. He goes, oh, we are just trying that this year. And I thought, ah, yes, do it. Yeah. You know, companion plant, put in flowers, put in these things. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing a demand come from another direction. And so they're starting to come back. Do I think that if we had more people supporting small scale farms, they would survive and people could be buying more from small scale? 100%. And I am forever trying to find a way to make it so that people are making a lot more purchases on a small scale or even just locally. Actually, most of Nova Scotia's farms, even what maybe you and I would look at and consider as really big, are incredibly small compared to global size farms. And if you're purchasing local and you're purchasing free range and you're purchasing organic and you're making all of these shifts, and if your farmers markets are continuously growing and new ones are popping up all the time because the demand is there for that type of farming, commercial farms are going to see it. Commercial farms are going to make a switch. That's just how it's going to happen, because they're going to see, oh, we actually, there's a lot of people that want birds outside. Okay, well, how do we get to birds outside and working in that direction? I believe there's a different level of care, because there can be a different level of care on a small scale versus a large scale. And I'm not even saying that commercial farms don't treat their animals properly, but on a small scale, we just have the ability to do it on a completely different scale. I can go and I can pet my chickens and I can, you know, spend time with my cow and scratch her and give her all this love. And I can go and go for a woods walk with my pigs, and I can do those things because I only have 25 pigs at a time, you know, and I'm a smaller scale, therefore I can spend more individual time with each animal. And I think that, yes, if you support small farms, more of us will thrive, more of us will be here, and then the options will be larger for you to be able to purchase from small scale farms, and hopefully you'll be able to connect easier with them. Because currently, something I hear often is people just don't know where to go if they don't want to buy from the grocery store, but maybe a Saturday market doesn't work for them. Then they're just like, well, what do I do? Saturdays don't work. How do I buy local? We're currently trying to make that easier and make it so that people can access small scale and local better. The other side of that is that commercial farms currently are far too expensive for most people to purchase. We have a really big issue in agriculture, where we've got an aging population of farmers, and we don't have a lot of people looking to take over the farm anymore, because farming across the board, whether small scale or large scale, is currently becoming less and less profitable. Our costs are skyrocketing. The weather has been really crazy lately. And so trying to pivot constantly to meet what we have to in order to keep going has gotten harder and harder. And we've got a lot of younger people who are not wanting to take over the farm. But now these farms are multi-million dollar farms, and nobody has the money to get into that. And so I really think it's important to look to smaller scale farms and make sure that they are still thriving, because as the larger ones are closing, we need somebody. People have to be there to produce food still. And if we squeeze out all the little guys, and then the big guys can't pass it down to their children, or they don't have somebody who wants to come in and purchase, or unfortunately, what might end up happening is they don't have another farm that's looking to purchase, and a corporation comes in and wants to buy up that land, and they offer a good price because they've got lots of money, and they wipe out that agriculture land and build something else. And then you have forever lost that farmland, and that space no longer grows food. And I think that's a really big issue. So if we don't continue to support small farmers, we will lose them as well. And then when the big guys shut down, which maybe grow this much food, and you need to have, you know, 50 smaller farms to make that up, they won't be here unless you support them all along the way as well.
That makes a lot of sense, Amy. And one of the things you were thinking, or one of the things I was thinking of while you were saying something in that a good explanation of things or summary of things, is that, you know, we were down in Florida, my, you know, family and I, late in 2023, and, you know, the grocery stores there, like, there's quite a few options. Like, we go to most, like, standard grocery stores there, and it's like, oh, there's a company, I think they're called Applegate Farms or something like that, and, like, they have different kind of tiers of product, and it's like, oh, like, this is, like, the hormone-free line, and then this is the, like, you know, oh, they have some tagline, but anyways, it's kind of like, you know, I think it's called, like, humanely raised or something. It's like, why don't you just humanely raise everything? But, you know, as you said, there's factors to consider there, but, you know, it's like, oh, it was really really handy. Like we could buy our humanely raised, you know, like free range, you know, outside animal, you know, organic, like, you know, pork or chicken slices or whatever it was. Like it was great to have those options at a mainstream grocery store, which that's kind of in short supply here in beautiful Nova Scotia anyways, probably other parts of Canada. But it makes me think like, well, oh, okay. It's great that, as you were saying, like the bigger companies will pivot to see like, oh, there's demand for this type of product. Sure. We're going to start producing that. But if we just, you know, say we're down in the States, like, oh, I'll just buy all of that from the grocery store. Well, then what's that going to do to farms like yours and other farms that were kind of like the pioneers doing that in the first place? So I think just a good take home message is, as you're saying, as I'm saying, like, you know, supporting the small farms important for so many reasons. Great to see like bigger companies offering these types of products and services. But I think trying to support the small farms that are offering these products is so, so important for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. So Amy, I know we don't have a whole ton of time left. And I do have a couple of other questions here that I kind of sort of preset here, but you've been sharing a lot of wisdom and getting into a lot of topics that I didn't even know to ask about. So just in the last few minutes that we have, are there other things that you'd like to share? Because my other questions are fine, but if you have other wisdom to share, I'd rather just hear what you think is the most important to talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think just having people recognize that that supporting small scale farms is often supporting diversity. But the other thing about supporting a small scale farm is actually getting to know your farmer. You don't get to do that on a large scale. You don't get to go to your chicken farmer or your pork farmer. You don't get to, you might be able to follow them on Instagram if they happen to share. But there's a lot more, some of the larger industries, they sort of have like, they have their own social media people, they have their own organizations that take care of the message that they want to put out. And that's great because they are promoting, you know, people to consume, you know, meat, dairy, eggs, produce, whichever their thing is. But you don't get to ask them questions and you don't get to figure out exactly what they're doing. And I find these days people want to actually know how their food is produced. There was a whole period where we didn't care. And you know, when microwavable foods came in, it was like super exciting. And that was great. And like everyone will just, it's convenience. It's awesome. And we slowly realized that that's not good for the environment. That's not good for our bodies. That's not good for the animals. We started, you know, as much as I don't love Facebook, it started putting out the videos and the things that people didn't want to see their foods being sprayed all the time. They didn't want to see, you know, chickens inside or whatever. They started saying, wait, I'm actually not okay with this. And so if you're supporting small scale farms, typically you can go and visit the farm. Maybe you go to the farm to be able to pick up your product. Maybe you can follow them on social media and you can see their day-to-day living and how they are farming. And you can choose to support that. And then maybe you're someone who doesn't have a large income and you mostly buy from the grocery store, but maybe there's areas you can price compare and you can say, well, you know, these eggs are really not that far off from the grocery store eggs, so I'm going to purchase eggs from here. And maybe that's just, you know, like the gateway drug into purchasing more local foods. But maybe it's where you start and then you can sort of like build from there. But you don't get to have that connection when it's on a commercial scale. So I think it's really important to connect with your farmer if you're going to be local, but also actually to pay attention, because as much as I really support small scale farms, there can be small scale people that aren't doing it properly just as well as there are large scale people who aren't doing it properly. And if we just across the board say, oh, if you purchase eggs from a free range producer, it's always better. It's just going to lead further into the misinformation that people already had about, you know, large scale or small scale. There's no one specific farm that's or a way of doing it all the time that's perfect. You have to suss it out, I guess. And I think I personally think it's important for farms to really be putting a lot of like our good days and our bad days and talking about the weather and talking about livestock and all these things so that people can have a better understanding, and the small scale people are able to do that easier than the large scale. So I can talk about my hard days and I can put that out there a lot easier than the big guys, because I also have a really diverse farm. So I can, within one season, show you the ups and downs of pig farming, cow farming, produce, chicken and eggs, all of those things. I think it's hard to tell everyone to support small scale because not everyone can financially do that. But I think if you can start small in small spots, if you can go to your market, that's great. But if not, use your Facebook or your Instagram and ask your friends, hey, where do we buy local eggs? Or I want to try bacon from a woods raised pig, or, you know, whatever. And once you do that, I call it a gateway drug, because I feel like you buy the eggs and then suddenly you've got the bacon and now you're buying the tomatoes and all of a sudden you're canning in October with your friends because you've gone to the farm every year and you purchased all the big stuff, right? So.
Yeah. When you find yourself canning, you know, you've really got in deep, I think. But something that I don't think that you've said, Amy, maybe you're just being humble here. I alluded to it, but like all these things, like they taste way better as well. Like it's, you know, there is that enjoyment factor as well. It's just all better. You know, it's like, oh, it's like the tomato that was shipped from South America or something versus like, you know, one that was grown fresh, like, or say corn, like, you know, I don't really eat a whole ton of complex carbs, but you know, like we always have corn, like at least a couple of times during corn season. It's like, it's delicious. It's wonderful. And like, we don't eat it the rest of the year because it's just not nearly as good. And, you know, we don't really need all those complex carbs in our household anyways. Amy, I mean, I really appreciate everything you're saying there. And I mean, just to, on our website, for the Optimistic Future podcast, we're you know, kind of compiling a sort of a list of like, you know, these are things that you could consider doing. And there's kind of the easy to implement list and then the more effort to implement list. So it sounds like on kind of the easy list, and say that kind of in quotes, because as you mentioned, like there might be financial barriers to folks, you know, not buying like the absolute cheapest food available. Like say, like I have to shop at Walmart because I can't afford to buy anywhere else. And, you know, so be it. If that's the case, that's the way it is. But if folks do have the disposable income, you know, it sounds like to me, and please tell me if you disagree with this, but kind of at the very least, you know, try to buy things from small farmers, just as much as you can. That's like, you know, any small farm, try to support small farms, because there's benefits to that. Even if the farm's not, you know, doing it right or doing it perfectly, like there's still benefit there. The next stage below that would be trying to support farms that you've kind of heard good things about, or they seem to spin a good yarn on Instagram and you can see them, you know, toiling in the trenches. And man, I follow you on Instagram. Like you're lots of diverse pictures on there. You deal with a lot of stuff. And then maybe the next tier would be like, if you can go out and actually meet your farmer or visit the farm, that would be great. You know, not some folks listening might be like, yeah, I live in the middle of, you know, the GTA, you know, Toronto, big city in Canada, for folks who aren't Canadians and don't know. It's like, I'm probably not going to drive, you know, 3 hours to get out to like, hopefully there's some farmland within 3 hours of the middle of Toronto. If for folks who do have the, inclination and time to kind of do that, like I couldn't agree more. Like just seeing your farm in action, I've been to some other small scale farms over the years as well. Like it's just, yeah, you really see like, wow, you're really doing it right. Like you're really, you know, walking the talk here. So would that be a fair hierarchy, like small scale, kind of word of mouth, actually visit the farm? Like, would that be fairly reasonable, or would you modify that at all?
Yeah, I'd say that's the easiest way to start. I mean, the easiest way is typically, probably to start just even following local small farms on Instagram. It's very easy to search small farm Nova Scotia and a bunch will pop up. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. And then if you can go to a farmer's market and dabble in purchasing a couple of things, I do agree, when you are purchasing heirloom tomatoes and grass-fed or free-range chicken and things like that, there is a different taste to it, for sure. So once you do that, I find you sort of like get, I often will have people buy from us and then they go, well, now I can't buy anything else and I have to just buy that. And I'm like, sorry, yeah. I led you into it. But yeah, if you can work up to being able to actually go and meet your farmer. In Nova Scotia, we do have Meet Your Farm Day, which is once a year. It's in September. And there's a lot of farms that sign up for it. And you can see the map and you can go around and visit these farms. There are dairy farms that are open. There are produce farms. There's fiber farms, like all these things that you can see. And that's a great way to, you know, other than the cost of gas, just go out and have a great family day and meet a ton of farmers. You can meet lots of us and see how we're doing it. And from there, you can go up to, maybe people are doing community supported agriculture boxes like we did. So then you can sign up for something that maybe is actually not as difficult to do financially. It's a commitment. However, you know, a lot of farms like we were doing is we'll deliver right to your door. So every week you just get a box of stuff that's from us, and that's directly from the farm. And from there, you can make additional purchases if you want, and, you know, learn about bulk buying and things like that. And that's a really good way to get in. And if you have the ability to sign up for a CSA in your area, that might be one of the easiest ways to start understanding local food, how it's grown, the seasonality of it all. And it either comes right to your door, or there's a pickup location that you can choose that's close to you. And then you're accessing that local food, having that connection, supporting a small farm. You're sort of checking all the boxes at the same time.
That's very well said. That's great, Amy. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Amy. Just before we wrap up here, would you mind just sharing with folks who are listening where they can, you know, find like what your website is, your handle on Instagram? I'll put all the links in the show notes for the show. But yeah, any promotional material that you can share with us for your farm?
Yeah, you can find us at snowyriverfarms.com. That's farms with an S. And we are also Snowy River Farms on Instagram and on Facebook. So you can connect with us anywhere there, follow along. You can shoot me a message if you're interested in any of our items that we sell. And we'll be listing very soon how you can access our meat, eggs, and produce for the season coming up through our social media.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today, Amy. I really appreciate it. And I really hope that folks are able to take this to heart and make some choices moving forward to support small farms. I'm going to continue doing that. And I've been really happy with that choice over the many years we've been doing that for. Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode of An Optimistic Future. And please stay tuned for the next one.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.